Now, we are going to relax and slow down and stop getting overexcited about things. Many of us love a cup of tea. Actually, I sit here always on air where kind people feed me tea all the time. But in recent years, there's been a rise in the consumption of herbal teas. Many of these come with claims of medicinal and health benefits. But what do they actually do and which are the best ones to drink? Well, joining me now is Fionn Nuálán, author of the hugely popular Holistic Garden series. And he's a new book exploring 60 different herbal teas, and it's called A Quick Cup of Herbal. You're very, very welcome indeed. Tell me about it. It's quite a trend now, isn't it?
It is, but it's, again, I mean, there's two points. I mean, we're saying we're going to calm down now. That's the original thing with tea, that the Buddhist philosophy was tea is drunk to forget the din of the world. So your tea was your sanctuary moments out away from all of the trials and tribulations of life or whatever else.
Yeah.
And people are leaning into that. People are looking for the mindfulness in their daily life, and they're finding that in a cup of tea. But then also the other trend of today, where we're looking at climate change and trying to have a more sustainable life. I mean, my big interest is in sustainable wellness, sustainable health. So does 80% or more of the planet rely on natural cures and natural remedies as their first intervention in primary health care?
What percentage is that?
Now, over 80%. The World Health Organization about 4 years ago estimated it was between 80 and 82. It varies, right?
But I know that the farmers look at some of those ingredients and see if they can use them in what we'll call, you know, mainstream medicine.
Yeah.
But I presume that 80% is because people don't have access to it.
Well, this is it. So it's either the truck can't get through the mountain pass with the cargo of antibiotics, or somebody can't afford the cough syrup, or because, like here, where we would have within our tradition to take the nettle soup or whatever else. So it's handed down. So for me, I mean, I initially studied horticulture and botany. I got interested in herbalism. And then I started looking at this type of thing where there we are talking about pharma, the fact that I would have known salicylic acid in willow as a growth hormone. And then I discovered salicylic acid is basically what aspirin is made of. And that piqued my curiosity and kind of, well, what other chemistry is in plant parts? So all of the previous books were exploring that. But this one is because tea is the easiest way to kind of extract the phytochemicals from a plant. So while the book talks about your standard tea, Camellia sinensis, and your green teas and your trendy teas, it's also looking at kind of what you can harvest from your garden. So that's getting back to that sustainability. You know, can you grow your own mint tea, for example, and what are the health benefits?
Have you put your own mint from the garden into?
I do. I take it all the time. Yeah.
which mint?
Oh, well, now here's the thing. Yeah, that's the issue. So there's even a slight difference between your standard garden mint and peppermint. So it depends on whether you want to use it, because, again, I address in the book the difference between drinking the tea and then maybe if you want to use it as a topical thing. So with mint tea is very good to settle your stomach. Mint tea is also analgesic, so it takes away pain. It brings down a little bit of inflammation. But what I really love mint for is now, as we're getting into summer, for prickly heat, for sunburn, and that's where you let the mint tea cool and you rub it into your skin. And the peppermint has more of the menthol in it. Now, menthol, when we drink it, it changes our taste buds to not perceive hot, but to perceive cold. It does the same to skin receptors. So if you make up some peppermint tea, let it cool, keep it in a spritz, it's brilliant for sunburn, prickly heat, especially for young kids. But it's also great to make a foot bath at night if you have restless leg syndrome or varicose veins or trodden feet. So this is the thing, that there's more than one healing dimension within different herbs.
Right. I know that somebody was talking about it the other day, that in South Africa they use an awful lot of rooibos and they go on about it. What are its benefits?
Well, it's the only plant on the planet that has a thing called asplantillin, and that's a really potent antioxidant, which means it's an anti-anxiety chemical. Now, it's anti-anxiety in that not that it's sedative or calming, but that it has an impact on removing cortisol out of the system, which is the stress molecule. So different teas. So say, for example, if you were looking for a good night's sleep or to calm down, you might take a chamomile tea because it has none of the kind of sleepy side effects, but yet it acts on the same valerio receptors in the brain as Valium and Xanax and all that sort of stuff. So that really slows down the central nervous system and the excitatory system. But with the rooibos tea, what that does is it gets rid of the chemistry that's there in the system. So most teas are diuretics. That means they basically help us pee a little bit more.
Yeah.
So how do we clear the toxins out of our system naturally? We either sweat it out or we pee it out. So by the tea or the one that you choose that helps remove some of the stress chemicals out of the bloodstream, into the livers and kidneys, and then helps it get us out of the system even quicker.
How many kinds of tea are you claiming here now?
So I've about 60 teas in the book. Now, the green teas, there's a couple of different versions, yeah. So they're added in as well.
Because just to put the other side, you know, no matter what you produce now, in the mainstream, you have to give contents, tests, all of that, you know, how it was done, ingredients, how they were treated, what was added to it, what wasn't added to it. If you go into a tea shop, and I can see they're growing more popular, and you can say in London they have one that I saw which is like four stories and they're selling teas.
You need a golf cart to get around.
How do you know which are good, and how much is baloney?
Well, you see, this is the nub of the book, because I'm asked all of the time because of my background, is this tea good? And, you know, even people mentioning different brands and what's the difference. The problem with all of those teas, whether you get them in a health store or you get them in your convenience store, because they're passed as a food, they don't have to put the pros or the cons on the side of the box. They're in a way, they're trying to allude to the fact that they're medicinal without actually giving any qualification or validation or caution. So my book has all of the validations. It will explain what it is that's in the chamomile, the azuline, and what that does to your system. So you know exactly the methodology or the protocols of the herb. But then it'll also say, okay, you know, with a particular tea, say something like licorice tea. Licorice tea is very estrogenic. So that's great if you're a male and you're looking to decrease your prostate, your swollen prostate. Licorice tea would be brilliant, bring it down. But if you're female and you're dealing with estrogen dominance or an estrogen-driven cancer, then you don't want to be taking excess estrogens into your system. So I list that in the book. There's a lot of cautions of kind of where a tea may clash with an over-the-counter medicine or a prescription medicine or improve its efficiency or whatever else. So I'm all about you knowing 100% the relevance of that particular tea. And you know, the whole idea with the book is, okay, if you go in and you think, I fancy a Buddy Burst today, or I wouldn't mind some green tea and lemon or whatever, you can actually go to the book, look it up and find out what good it does you. But then you can also go to the back and look up fibro or menopause or migraine and find a tea that does that.
Right. Yeah. And obviously, if you're on mainstream medicine, that's the way to go with any of those dangerous things like cancer. Hi, Marion. Can you ask your guest, is there any caffeine in green tea with lemon?
Yes. Yes.
Is
so
there?
So green tea and black tea are the same plants, Camellia sinensis, and they're just processed in a different way. Your traditional tea, your black tea or your red tea, as it's often called, that's dried in ovens, and that's why it goes the darker colour. You'll see it in the loose leaf. If you get it in loose leaf, you'll even notice it in the tea bag. And that changes some of the catechins in it, and it increases the iron content. Now, medicinally, that has a lot of good benefits. There's the old Irish saying, dead with tea, dead without it. That was the caffeine. It kept you going. And when you didn't take it, you noticed it after a while and you had it again. With the green tea, it's dried in the sun, or it's steamed before it's dried. And that keeps more of the plant pigments contained within it. And plant pigments are often where the actual chemistry is. So there's a lot of epogallate catechins. Yeah, epogallate catechins. Now, they're really interesting. They're the parts that remain in the green tea, and they're famous for boosting metabolism. They're great for switching off. We have a particular gene in our system that when we go on a diet and then about 2 weeks in, our body starts thinking we're in starvation mode, so we grab onto more calories. green tea helps switch that gene, dial it back. But the other issue with the green tea is that, yes, it can. It still retains its caffeine.
Yeah.
So even adding in the lemon won't do much to kind of lessen the caffeine content within it. But it's not as strong as the black tea.
It's not as strong. Which is your favourite?
It varies from time to time. And in one way,
what's the first thing in the morning?
Now, I would have a cup of green tea. I would have a cup of green tea to set me up. And I'm coming around to matcha. And I tell you why I'm coming around to matcha. So Sencha tea is the type of tea we traditionally drink. And Sencha means infused, so that's your normal infused tea. But the matcha tea is rubbed tea. And really what it is it's that the tea is ground down into a fine powder.
Right.
So all of these phytochemicals that you're getting from an infusion, you're only getting it from what has leached into the water. But the matcha, because you mix it up and you whisk it, you're actually taking in the tea leaf as well. It's a
right.
There's much more quality in it. And that gives me the alertness in the morning. Instead of a cup of coffee, which is the other reason why most people are coming. They're looking for the decaffeinated beverage. Yeah.
So it's a quick cup of herbal by Fiona Nuland, the holistic gardener. Thank you very, very
Thank
much
very
indeed for that.